Thank you, Adam and Ben, for leading us this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We've been walking verse by verse through the gospel account of Mark and looking at Jesus' life. And this morning, we're going to talk about navigating life's storms. It's been said that you're either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you've just come out of a storm. Isn't that such a blessing to know? But as we talk about Jesus' compassion, the servant's compassion, we're going to talk about what gets us through the storm. What helps us to get to the other side of the storm? What makes it so that we can survive in the storms? And so if you found your way there in Mark chapter 6, starting verse 45, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning? Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke with them and said, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded, because they not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would speak to us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to understand that we can trust you no matter what's going on in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So a couple things we want to look at as we talk about making our way, about navigating through the storms of life. And if you remember, what happened right before this story here that we talked about last week was Jesus fed the 5,000 men and we believe probably somewhere between 15 and 25,000 people with just a couple of pieces of bread and a few fish. So there was something that was big that had happened here, and we see Jesus sent his disciples out, and he was going to dismiss the crowd. He was going to go and pray. And so as we talk about walking through the storms of life, the first thing that we can know to help us navigate through is that we can trust the mediator. Trust the mediator. Look there, starting in verse 47, it says, "Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against him." Now, here's something that we don't really understand. Why did Jesus send the disciples away? Well, if we look at the other gospel accounts, we can see that at the end of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, that everyone was kind of like, hey, we should make Jesus the king. Now, is Jesus the king? Yes. Was it his time to be presented as the king? No. And so Jesus knew this was going on, and he knew that kind of like a religious fervor could kind of build up inside of him a little bit. And so he sent his disciples, sent them away so that he wouldn't get caught up in that. And he got the crowds to go ahead and leave. And then he went to go and pray. And so we look at this, and the first thing that we need to know in trusting the mediator as we walk through the storms of life, no matter how big, no matter how small, that we are to obey his commands. It says he made the disciples get into the boat. Sometimes obeying Jesus makes us uncomfortable. You know, if we were writing the story, you know how we would write it? If we obey God, everything's great in our lives. That's not always true, is it? Sometimes when we obey Jesus, he takes us right into the middle of the storm. That's what happened here with these disciples, isn't it? Hey guys, we're done here. I need you to go ahead and get in the boat and go to the other side. Let's go get in the boat. All right, we'll go. I don't understand why. Don't worry about that. You just need to go. And then we see that it says they were straining at the oars. Now, these were expert fishermen, some of them. They had spent a lot of time on the water. They knew how to use their sails, and they knew how to go and all those different things. And here they are. Now they're at the oars. They put their sails down. They're straining. They're rowing. They're trying to go. And if you've ever been in a situation where you're in a boat and you're rowing and the wind's coming against you, it's really hard to go sometimes. It feels like you're not really going anywhere. And that's exactly what was happening right here. But they had been obedient. In our minds, as humans, we would think, hey, they were obedient. It should be great for them. But sometimes obeying Jesus makes us uncomfortable. You see, because God does not call us to a life of ease. He calls us to a life of obedience. He calls us to go and do exactly what he said, no matter what it is. But in our human minds, we like to play games with that a little bit. We're like, all right, God, I'm going to obey, but here's what you got to do for me. You got to make sure that I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. You got to make sure my 401k is okay. You got to make sure my bank account's all right, my family's good. We put all these conditions, and God's like, no, just go obey. Just be obedient to what I've told you to do. And that's what God has done for us. And so sometimes when we're in the storm, you know what we don't want to do? We don't want to obey. Because we think it's just going to make it more difficult. Or maybe because of our obedience, that's why it's difficult. But God said, just obey. But not only are we to obey his commands, number two, we are to pray to Jesus. Look what happened here is these disciples didn't reach out to Jesus for help in this. They just kept trying to do it in their own strength. There's a storm, I'm just going to keep on rowing. They didn't ask Jesus for any help, but didn't they remember the storm of Mark chapter 4? Hadn't they read just a couple chapters earlier? When there was a storm and Jesus was asleep, and they're like, we're going to die. I mean, it seems like the disciples keep getting in these situations time and time again. And here they are again in this situation. They had forgotten what took place earlier. Maybe they've probably even forgotten what just happened to them that day before when Jesus took just a few pieces of bread and blew it up so he fed all of these people. They'd forgotten his power, and they're there and they're straining against the oars and they're doing it, but they weren't praying. But the truth of the matter is without prayer, we don't have any hope of making it through the storm. George Adam Smith, who was a famous Scottish Old Testament scholar, he lived during the mid-1800s, early 1900s, he once climbed the Weisshorn in Switzerland with his guide. And on that particular day, the weather was rainy and stormy, and they climbed up on the sheltered side of the mountain. So the wind was coming against them, but it was going over the top of the mountain. They were good to go. And as he got up to the top, he got really excited about being on the top. And so he forgot about the storm, and he jumped up, and he ran up to the top. And as he got to the top, the wind almost blew him off the top, and his guide had to grab him and pull him down. And he said, on your knees. You're only safe here on your knees. And can I tell you, church, that on our knees in prayer to God is the only way we're safe in the midst of the storm. We have to be willing to go to God even when we think it's difficult. Have you ever noticed that when we're going through the storms in life, that's when we feel like we can't go to God? What's one of the first things that quits when we're having a hard time? Well, our daily quiet time, going to church, fellowshipping, worshiping. We quit all those things because it's just too hard, right? It's exactly what we're supposed to keep doing. That we talk to God about the hard times. And we need to pray to Jesus because he prays for us. What does it say that he was doing? He dismissed the crowds and he sent them away and he went up on the mountain alone to what? Have a sandwich? No, to pray. Who do you think he was praying for? I think he was praying for those disciples in that boat. I think he was praying for the people that he had just ministered to. I think he was probably even praying for us. You see, he is the mediator. You know what that means? He was the go-between from mankind to God. That's pretty cool. Check this. Here's God in the flesh, comes down so that we can have a relationship, right relationship, right standing with him. He put on flesh. He became fully man so that he could pay the penalty on the cross and open up the floodgates between mankind and God. You know one of the cool things that happened when Jesus died on the cross? In the temple, there was a section of the temple called the Most Holy Place. That's where the Spirit of God resided. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the high priest could only go in there on the specific Day of Atonement. Otherwise, that was just reserved for God. And there was this big, thick, tall, heavy veil curtain between where the priest could go and the Most Holy Place. You know what happened when Jesus died? That curtain tore in half. You know what God was saying? Hey, listen, guess what you get? You get access to me. What did Jesus say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. So we see that he is the go-between. He is the mediator. But then Jesus himself said this in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prays for us. You know what he's doing right now? He is sitting in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God the Father, and he is making intercessory prayer for us. Think about that next time you face temptation. Instead of him saying, Simon, Simon, Satan has looked out for you or asked to sift you like we, what was he saying? He's saying, Brad, Brad, Satan's asked for you, but I'm praying for you. You can fill your name in that spot and say, Jesus is praying for me. And so the reason that I can pray to him is because he's sitting there praying for me. He is the mediator that we can trust. And we need to remember that Jesus sees us. Now, sometimes that can be scary. Right? When we're doing or saying or thinking things that are sinful, when we're treating other people poorly, Jesus sees that. But you know what else he also sees? He sees when you're in the midst of that storm. When you're struggling with life, he sees you. When you're hurting, when you feel alone, when you don't know which way is up, he sees you. Look at what it says there in verses 47 and 48. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. You see, he doesn't just see us as some impersonal celestial force up in heaven. He sees you as a personal God with intimate knowledge of you. And he cares deeply for what you're going through. You know what I don't know today? I mean, there's lots of things, but you know what I specifically don't know today? I don't know what storm you're walking through. You might share some things with me that I can understand a little bit, but I'm not going to understand all of the storms. But can I tell you something? In the midst of the darkest, deepest night, when you're in the middle of the sea and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying to do it on your own and you're not getting anywhere, Jesus sees you. And he doesn't just look out at you and be like, oh, there they are. You know what he does? He looks out. And he sees you and says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to carry you through this storm. I love what Isaiah 43 says. Such an encouragement. It says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Have you ever thought about this? God knows your name. Have you ever met someone and you think, oh, they're kind of a big deal and they're not going to really remember my name? And then you see them again and they know your name. You're like, I can't believe that person just knew my name. This is kind of a big deal. God knows your name. He knows you personally and intimately. Verse 2 says, I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. We can trust the mediator because he is trustworthy. Can I tell you something? We can go all the way back through history. You know what we'll find out? Jesus has never failed anyone. There has never been a single time where Jesus hasn't been fully and completely trustworthy. And guess what? You and I, we're not important enough for God to break his streak. We are so minuscule in the grand scheme of things that he's not going to break it over us. He is going to be trustworthy in your situation, whatever it is. And he sees you and he says, listen, when you're walking through the rivers, I got you. It's not going to overtake you. When you're walking through the fire, it's all right. You're not going to be burned because I am your Savior. Number one, we need to trust the mediator. Number two, we need to step out in faith. Look at the second half of verse 48. It says, very early in the morning, he came towards them, walking on the sea, and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded, because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. When we step out in faith, the first thing that we need to understand is that Jesus won't bypass you. Now, when we read this story on face value, you know what it looks like? It looks like the disciples are there rowing in their boat, and Jesus is out for a little stroll, and he's just kind of walking on the water, and he's kind of going along, and he's going to wave at them as he goes by and keep on going on. That's what it looks like to us, doesn't it? That's not at all what it is. This phrase, he wanted to pass by them, does not mean he was going to keep on going, but rather that he was there to show his glory to them. You know what he was about to do? He was about to remind them who was in charge. He was about to remind them that he alone is God. He was about to remind them that he was bigger than the storm. He was bigger than what they were facing, and he was going to show them his glory. And if we go back to Exodus chapter 33, and we see Moses, he's up on Mount Sinai, and he's talking with God, and he kind of has this yearning, God, I want to see you. And maybe you've thought that before. God, if I could just see you for a minute, can I just see your glory? And that's what Moses does here. And I love the answer. This is what God said in Exodus 33:19. He said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And so what he was doing in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the night, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the deep water, he was coming by to say, I am going to show you that I am God, and you can trust me. And because you can trust me, you can step out in faith. He's not going to bypass you. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to walk away from you. He's going to show up and show you exactly who he is. He's going to say, look at me. I am God. I am all powerful, and I've got this. What had just happened earlier that day? He took a few pieces of bread and two fish. And he kept multiplying it and kept multiplying it and kept multiplying. You know who he was saying in that moment? I'm God. I'm God. I'm God. I'm all powerful. I'm all powerful. I can defeat any circumstance that's there. And he kept breaking the bread and kept doing it. And they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And they get in the middle of this storm like 6 seconds later. And they've completely forgotten who he was. You know what I like to do a lot? I like to look at the characters in the Bible and think, can't believe the little faith that they had. You know what the problem is? Then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, that's trouble. Because we do the exact same things that we see in Scripture that we belittle the Israelites, that we belittle the disciples for, their lack of faith in God. And we do the exact same thing all of the time. But Jesus was coming to demonstrate he was God. Kent Hughes says this, Jesus came in the darkest part of the night when they had exhausted their energies and were in deepest despair. This is how he often comes to us, that we might learn the futility of our own strength and depend on him. What were the disciples doing? They weren't going anywhere. They were not making any progress at all, were they? And they were trying to do it in their own strength. And they were in this storm. And I can imagine there were probably some of them, they were getting a little scared because they were rowing and the wind and the waves and the rain and all that was taking place. They weren't getting anywhere. And it was scary. And it's not like they had GPS to figure out where they were. They're just kind of going. And because of the storm, they can't see the stars. They can't see the moon. And so it's just this eerie feeling that they're out there. They're all alone. They have nowhere to go. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus shows up to say, you can't do it, but I can. If we step out in faith, it means that he won't bypass us. It means, number two, don't be afraid. Look at verses 49 and 50. When they saw him on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Can I just interject in there? I understand. Like, completely. If you're out in the middle of the water and all of a sudden some dude comes walking out on top of the water in the middle of the storm, that's terrifying. All right, that's one of those things, understatement of the Bible right here. We read that and go, oh, that's really nice. They were scared. They're already scared because of the storm, and then here's some guy walking on the water, and it says that they all saw him. So it wasn't just one or two people having an hallucination. He was really there. But I love what it says. Immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. When you're in the midst of the storm, what we like to do is we like to draw back, we like to retract back into our little shell because we don't want to be hurt anymore. We don't want anyone else to see our vulnerability, and so we pull back and we pull back. And what God is saying, no, listen, don't be afraid. Step out. Do things for me. Serve me. Worship me. Obey me. That's what you need to do because I am with you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Don't be afraid. And can I tell you something? That the safest place that we can be is in the center of God's will. That doesn't mean no physical harm will come to us. It means that's exactly where we need to be because that's where God tells us to be. You see, what we like to do is we like to pull back. We pull back from church. We pull back from worship. We pull back from studying the Word of God. We do all these things and we pull back. And God's like, no, no, no. You need to get going. You need to get on the road. You need to serve me. And we pull back so that we're not hurt, but then we're outside of God's will. We're not doing what He wants us to do. We're not stepping out in obedience. And He shows up to tell us, you can do it. You can do it because I'm with you. And even though right now, man, it looks dark. And even though right now it's painful. And even though right now it seems like we don't know which way is up, you can do it. You can do it because I'm with you. See, Jesus' love calms our fears. When we understand His love for us, you know what it does? Man, it wipes out all those fears that we have. John wrote this in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. There is no fear in love. Jesus' love calms our fears. Notice, I didn't say it calms the storm. That's not always the case. It calms our fears. Because you know what he does? He just grabs onto us and he says, I got you. And he pulls us tight and holds us close. He says, I, in my great love and telling you, don't be afraid, it is I. I'm going to love you in the midst of this. And so we need to know Jesus won't bypass us and don't be afraid. But here's something we've got to do. Sometimes we've got to get out of the boat. We got to get out of the boat. In Matthew chapter 14, Matthew's account of the same story, I love what happens here. Lord, if it's you, Peter answered him, command me to come to you on the water. First of all, of course Peter's going to say this. Sometimes because Peter was a bit of an idiot, all right, let's just agree with that, but he was bold. And he's like, I'm not really sure about this, so all right, if it's really you, tell me to come out, and I'll get out. And so Jesus said to him, come. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. You know what happens? When we read this story, we skip that verse altogether and go to the next verse. What happens in the next verse? It says, but when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? We always key in on that. Look, look at Peter. Man, he doubted. He's the only one that got out of the boat. He's the only other one who was walking on the water. He was the one who had the faith to step out of the boat in the midst of the storm because he was trusting in Jesus. And sure, he began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. But when he was focused in on Jesus, when he was looking only at Jesus, guess what happened? He was walking on the water. I'd like to know how that felt. If you've ever tried to walk on water, you know what happens? You sink every time. Like, was it squishy under his feet? Was it like solid, like the road? I don't know. But it was pretty cool that he was doing that. Because he got out of the boat, and Jesus Christ commands us to step out in faith. You say, what if I fall? What if you fall? What happened when Peter fell? Jesus was right there to pick him back up. Remember what I said a minute ago? He is trustworthy. He's not going to fail us because he's never failed anyone. And so when we step out in faith, even when we fall, not if, when we fall, he's right there to pick us back up. He commands us to step out in faith. Jesus Christ is there to hold us up when we fall. I love what Psalm 37 says. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and even though he falls, he will not be cast headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You know what that means? That as we're walking through life, and sometimes we're going to trip and fall, it's okay because we're holding on to our Father's hands. When my kids were little, sometimes still now, but when my kids were little, we'd walk through a parking lot, you know what we'd do? We'd hold onto their hands. Because you know when they're like toddlers, and their heads are like this big, and their bodies are like this big, so they're a little top heavy, and so sometimes they tend to fall. What happens when you're holding onto their hand as a parent is when they do kind of get a little top heavy and begin to go, you can pull them right back up. That's what God does with us. That even though we will fall, he's right there to hold us up. But Christ also challenges us to simply believe. You know why we make the storms worse? Because we don't believe God. You say, of course I believe God. No, you don't. You know how I know that we don't believe God? Because we don't spend a whole lot of time walking on the water. We don't spend a whole lot of time getting out of the boat. We get into our storm of life and we get scared and we pull back and we don't know what to do and we shrink into our little shell and we just kind of go us four no more and we don't want to reach out, we don't want to serve, we don't want to grow, we don't want to do anything because we're scared about getting hurt. And God's saying, listen, just believe me, I got this. Trust in me. The last thing that we see here as we talk about stepping out in faith, is that we need to worship the Savior. Matthew goes on in verses 32 and 33 and says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because this is what happened to the disciples all the time, because they forgot who God was. He did something big, and they were like, oh yeah, that's right. You know what we don't like to do when we're in the midst of the storm? We don't like to worship. Do you know what we really need to do when we're in the midst of the storm? Worship. Now, part of that happens when we gather together and we sing a song and we worship through giving and we worship through praying and we worship through the Word of God and all those sort of things. But you know where worship is more important to take place? Privately. Alone. By myself, without the band, without the pastor, without the deacons, me and God. See, worship always takes place in our lives when we recognize who God really is and we recognize who I really am. And when that happens, that causes us to worship. See, what happened here is they got back in the boat. First of all, he was walking on the water. Second of all, Peter started walking on the water. Thirdly, he jumps back into the boat and everything quits. John's account tells us that immediately they were on the other side. I don't know if they hydroplaned or what happened there, but immediately they were on the other side. And they were like, dude is God. Straight up, no questions about it. He is God. And they began to worship. You see, worship followed the doubting. Worship followed the doubting. And what we see here is it says, then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. We think, what a weird way to end the story. Here's what was happening. They were saying they worshiped him because earlier they hadn't remembered who he was. They doubted about him. And as they got in the midst of the storm, they doubted his ability. And they doubted, but when they remembered who he was, they worshiped because previously they had hardened their hearts against who he was. And I don't know, maybe in the midst of that storm as they were rowing and Jesus was up on the mountain, maybe some of them were like, What'd you do to us? Why'd you tell us to go into this boat? Why are we sitting here rowing? We're going to die. And Jesus is the one. He's not even here. He told us to go on the boat. What's the deal with? Maybe they were angry. Maybe their hearts were hardened because they had forgotten what he had just done. His incredible strength and power. They had forgotten what he had just done in the loaves and the fishes. They forgot who he was. But they worshiped when he proved again that he alone is God and worthy of their worship. Worship takes place in our lives not when Randy gets up and leads us or Adam gets up and leads us. Worship takes place not when we sing the song that we really like or I get to sit in my favorite seat. Worship doesn't take place just when we get into Connect Group and we hear a good lesson that week. Worship takes place when we recognize God for who he is. Remember Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they go into Philippi. And as they're in Philippi, they're preaching and teaching, and people get mad, they beat them, and they throw them in prison. And their prison, not great, can we just say that? It's basically a hole in the ground, caves in the ground, and rats everywhere, and they're bleeding, and all that sort of stuff. And what did Paul and Silas do? God, we don't know why we went on this missionary journey. Look what happened to us. No, what did Paul and Silas do? At midnight, they were praising and singing hymns because they knew who God was. The circumstances of the storm did not determine who God was. But their worship determined what they believed about who God was. I don't know what storm you're in right now. I don't know what storm you just came through or you're about to go in. I don't know. But I know this. God intimately cares about your storm. He intimately knows you. He deeply loves you. And he is the same God in the midst of the storm that he is on the mountaintop. He is the same God in the bad times as he is in the good times. I think about Job. You read that Old Testament story. You know, one of the things we never see in the book of Job? We never see God tell Job why he walked through all those things. You know what we do see? God being God. God faithfully loving Job. Faithfully taking care of Job. And Job eventually finding his way back to trusting God fully. What are our takeaways, and we'll be finished this morning? Number one, when I go through life's storms, I must trust the mediator. He has his glory and my best interest in mind. Did you ever think that maybe you're walking through that storm just so that God can display his godness? If the disciples hadn't been in that storm, we would have never had the story of Jesus walking on the water. And what happened when Jesus walked on the water? God was glorified because he showed up in an incredible way. Number two, when I go through life's storm, I must step out in faith and worship the Savior. Every desire in us when we go through the storm is to pull back. You know what we need to do? Press on. Step out in faith. Get out of the boat. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Worship the Savior. And don't be afraid. Can I tell you something? Jesus loves you. Just let that sink into your heart for a minute. Jesus loves you. Because of his great love for you, he's not going to fail you. He's not going to walk away from you. He's not going to turn and run the other way. He's going to come by to display his glory and to take care of you. The question is, are we willing to trust him? Would you pray with me? Lord, this morning. This morning, many of us are walking through storms. God, sometimes the storms we're walking through are hard and painful. Sometimes the storms that we're walking through cause us to not know which way is up, make us feel alone, make us feel like no one else has ever experienced what we're experiencing right now. But Jesus, I am so glad that you are a God who sees us. I'm so glad that you're a mediator that we can trust, that you are praying for us. That in the midst of the hard and in the midst of the dark and in the midst of the storm, you're right there. Lord, I pray that in the midst of the storms we're walking through, or in the midst of storms we're going to walk through in just a little while, that you would help us to step out in faith. That we would trust in you, because you alone are trustworthy. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room this morning. Lord, I know that there's some hurting hearts. Father, I know that there are some deep wounds that only you know about. This morning, Father, would you help us to trust in you? Would you help us to step out in faith? Would you help us to rely on you? Because you're the only one who can do anything about it. So friend, I'm just going to ask in the quietness of this moment right now, if you're walking through a storm and you're walking through a storm that's hurting, would you just tell Jesus about it? He already sees and he already knows, but it's our responsibility to pray to him because he's praying for us. Would you just tell him, Jesus, here's my storm. Jesus, here's my hurt. Jesus, here's my pain. Jesus, here's my struggle. Here's my brokenheartedness. Here it is. I give it to you. Trust him. Trust him. He is trustworthy. Maybe this morning you are walking through storms and you have nowhere to turn because you've never put your faith in Jesus. Can I tell you, there's no one else who can save you. There's no one else who can lift you up out of the sea in the midst of the storm. There's no one else who has died for you. There's no one else to whom we can have salvation through his name but Jesus. He is God. He died to pay the penalty for your sins. He was buried and he rose again, and he's saying, just believe. Would you do that this morning? Can I beg you? Can I implore you? Don't leave here this morning without knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you have eternal life in Jesus. You just whisper a prayer to him this morning and say, Jesus, I believe. Lord, I pray that in this moment of response, of reflection, you would help us to do business with you. God, may we give all of our pains, all of our heartaches, all of our worries to you. Father, most importantly, that we would believe in you. Help us this morning to do exactly what you've put on our hearts to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?